Following audio is from Living Waters Christian Church, located in Buxton, Maine. Please feel free to share this podcast and make copies, but please do not charge for those copies or alter them in any way. For more information about Living Waters, please visit www.lwaters.net.
I want to jump into the Word of God right now. If you turn with me in your Bibles to John, the 10th chapter, John chapter 10. Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. God, for your awesome goodness and faithfulness to us. And God, as we look into your word this morning, God, we ask that you would open it up to us, God, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit is saying. God, that we would be sensitive to your voice. God, I pray that there would be those that are here today that would hear your voice for the first time. God, that their hearts would leap, God, as they encounter you. God, I pray that you would give wisdom, understanding and knowledge this morning. God, that your word would be food for faith. God, that your word would find good ground and bring forth fruit in our lives. Lord, I ask that your heart would be expressed, not mine this morning, but your heart, that our hearts would be united with yours. God, that the things that you want spoken would come forth. And God, that you would be exalted and you would be glorified in our midst. God, bring salvation today. Bring healing and deliverance today. God, as we look into your word, Lord, you promised it would not return to you void, but would accomplish all that you've sent it to accomplish, and we stand and rest on that promise as we look into it together today, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning, for any of you that are taking notes or are looking for it on the podcast or online, is the God of Abundance. Amen. Do you believe that? We serve a God of abundance. Amen. There is no shortage in heaven. There's no shortage. Whatever you need this morning, whatever circumstance or situation that you find yourself in, whatever you need to bring to bear, I just want to encourage you this morning. There is no shortage in God. He's a God of abundance. He's got more than enough. More than enough. And we're going to hopefully learn how to tap into that today as we study the Word of God together. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy." That's talking about the devil. It's talking about the enemy of our soul. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, "I have come." Jesus is speaking here now. He says, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." In contrast to the work of the enemy, he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I'm the life giver. I've come to give you life, and not just a little bit of life, not just enough to hang on, not just enough to hopefully carry us until he comes, but he said, I want you to have abundant life here and now." That word abundantly in the Greek means this. It's in the sense of beyond, like far beyond, super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. By implication, it means excessive, preeminence, exceedingly, abundantly, above, more abundantly. It means having the advantage. It means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, and more superfluous. You get the idea that Jesus says, "I want you to have abundant life." Amen. More than you could ask or think. More than maybe even you're currently experiencing. Now, I've got a question at this point. The Amplified puts it this way. The Amplified Bible, we're in the New King James, but the Amplified says, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Anybody interested in that kind of life? Now, can I just say this as a way of a challenge? If we are not living in that realm, and that is not our testimony this morning, the thief is winning. He's robbing you of something. He's stealing you of your joy. He's stealing you of your peace. He's stealing you of maybe your marriages or your family. See, he's a thief. He's an accuser. He's a liar and the father of them. He's a murderer. These are descriptions of the thief. So if you don't feel this morning or your experience or your testimony is not abundant life, then the enemy is winning in some areas of our life. Amen? And God wants us to get victory. God wants us to have victory this morning. And I believe we've had enough prophetic indication that that's going to happen as we continue in His Word. Anybody got room for more abundant life? I know I do. I was praying this week. This is how I got this message. I was riding along in my car, and I was praying and just kind of crying out to the Lord. And I realized that my prayer was more in a survival mode. You know, it was more, Lord, help me just to get through. Give me the wisdom I need for this day. Help me to have the resources I need to be a blessing to somebody and just get through. And God says, you know, I've come to give you life and more abundantly. You don't have to just have a get-through mentality. You don't have to have just to kind of skate by and I hope I'm still standing at the end of the day kind of mentality. Amen? God says, I've come to give you life. Life. And really, the life He's talking about is not just taking up space and breathing in air, and you need to understand that. The life He's talking about is that superabundant, superfluous. It's the very life of God flowing into us and through us, bringing strength, grace, mercy, the things that we need. It's not a get by, get saved, and hang on and hope we make it to heaven kind of life. It's one that's full of abundance everywhere we turn. Now, does that mean we never get any resistance? Absolutely not. In fact, the more life you have, the more resistance you face. Because the enemy does not like it when you have life. He doesn't want you to have life. He's out to destroy you. But the life of God will prevail every time. It will prevail every time. You know, God's always been about life from the beginning of creation. He created life. You know, in Genesis, he created life. He created the universe that sustains life. He set everything in motion by just speaking. God spoke. It says the worlds were framed by faith as God spoke. The word of God and faith go hand in hand, and it releases the power of God in the earth and in your earth, in your life. Amen? And so God's always been about life. He's been all creation testifies of life. You look around, everything testifies of life that was created by God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20, he says, then God said, let the waters abound with abundance. Listen to the language. He said, let the waters, this is in creation now, he says, let the waters abound in abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament in the heavens. Even in the oceans, he wanted abundance. In all creation, he's an extravagant God, and he wants abundance. He speaks abundance into existence. So he created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded. There's that word again. According to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Just in this one act of creation, we see the word abound or abounding three times. I think God wants us to understand something. Amen? God's not repeating himself for the sake of repeating himself. He's desiring for this to be sealed in our hearts, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. These things are established. What does that mean? It means it can be established in your life. It can become a part of your experience in your life. Noah, he spoke to Noah in Genesis 9. And he said, as for you. Now, at this point, sin had come into the picture. And murder had already been committed. And the world was spinning out of control. And God says, I'm going to judge it. We're going to start over with another family. And you remember the flood, and Noah was instructed to build an ark for the preserving of his family and then the repopulating of the earth. And he says this, "As for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth what?" What? You almost got it. Abundantly. Yeah, speak right up. Amen. You got any life? Check your pulse. You got any life here this morning? Amen. Is there any life flowing through your brain? I hope so by the end of the message. Amen. He said, I want you to bring forth abundantly. Every act of creation, everything that he told these men of God, anything that where it comes to replenishing, he always used the words abundant. Abundantly. God is a God of abundance. I'm trying to elevate us out of a mentality of survival and or lack. Even worse, lack. You know, some people got faith for nothing. They got faith for lack. And somehow, and some people even get worse, and they call that lack spiritual. I'm not trying to kick over any golden calves here this morning, but God has a different plan. Amen? God has a different plan. And it's not to live a life of lack. It's to live a life of abundance. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about primarily money here. I'm talking about life. Amen? Money's great. And God wants to bless and provide, and he wants an abundance there too. But it's not limited to that. God wants you to have life. He wants you to have purpose. He wants you to understand that you're valued. He wants you to understand that your life is significant. He wants you to understand that he has a destiny for your life, and he has a plan, and it's a good one. Amen? And it's to be filled with the abundance of his presence and provision. He said, as for you, he's talking to Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly and in the earth and multiply it. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 6, I'm moving kind of quick here. I want to establish a foundation. Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, I believe God gives us opportunities. And opportunities to respond, opportunities to call on him. You know, this might be an opportunity for you this morning to encounter God. And I know for me, I've missed some opportunities in my life. Sometimes I had to go around the mountain 3 or 4 times because I didn't get it the first time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Missed opportunities. He said, today is the day of salvation. I had heard the gospel quite a few times before I responded. I had missed opportunities. Looking back, I wished I'd done it different. I wouldn't have wasted certain things in my life. But he said, listen, call upon me while I'm near. In other words, what's he referring to? He's referring to a season of availability in God, an opportunity that you have right now, this morning, to receive from God, to encounter God, to bring about life change in our lives, and to experience the abundance of his love, of his grace, of his mercy, of his provision. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Listen to this. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will what? Abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. That word pardon here in the Hebrew, it means, it comes from a primitive word that means to forgive, to pardon, and to spare. Now God says, listen, if we turn from our wicked ways, or we turn from our sin and we run towards him, he says, you will meet a God who will abundantly forgive, who will abundantly pardon, who will abundantly spare your life. Not just forgive, not just pardon, not just spare, but abundantly forgive, abundantly pardon, and abundantly spared. Now you say, why are you emphasizing this? Why is this so important? Because you see, God did this for you, and that enables you to do that for others. It's all right when God's forgiven us. Some of you like that. When God says, I'll abundantly pardon and I'll abundantly forgive, I'll spare. Isn't that exciting? God will do that if we come and we offer ourselves to Him and we turn to Him. Amen. Instead of holding ourselves up by our own bootstraps, we run to Him and say, God, I need you. I need you to forgive me. My life's a mess. I'm a wreck. I'm out of control. I battle depression. I wrestle with things. God, I look to you. God, I'm asking you to abundantly pardon and forgive me. And we go, yes, when God does, and the sky gets bluer and the grass gets greener, and it feels like 1,000,000 pounds is lifted off our shoulders, and we know we've been forgiven by the God of the universe, by the Creator of the universe, by the Savior of the world. And then He says, now I want you to go do that for others. Whoa, wait a minute, God. I like it when you forgive me, but I'm not sure I can forgive. God, obviously you don't know what they've done to me. Obviously, you don't know how bad they've hurt me. Would you want your life, would I want my life measured up against the offense of how we've hurt him and grieved him? When we've, or offenses maybe we've brought to God because we haven't lived the way he's called us to live or died for us to live. I know I wouldn't. Amen. I need that clean slate. I need that abundant pardon. I need that abundant forgiveness. And I cry out to God every day to keep my heart sweet and to live free from offense and not harbor any bitterness or any unforgiveness. It destroys relationships. How does, see, the thief comes, he says, to steal, kill, and destroy. And it almost looks like, well, boy, we should be able to recognize that. But he also says later that he comes as an angel of light. You know, if the devil came as a slithering serpent or manifested with the horns and the pitchfork and the pointed tail and was red like on the devil's hand can there, you know. If he come and he said, knocks on your door, the door of your life or your heart and says, hey, I'm the devil. Do you mind if I come in and destroy your life? I just want to kill you. I want to destroy you. I want to destroy everything about you and everything that's precious to you. I just want to wipe you out. Do you mind if I come in? Well, we would slam the door in his face, amen? I mean, we don't have to have a PhD in discernment to figure out that would not be somebody you want to let in to your life or your circumstance. But see, he don't come like that. He don't come into your marriages like that. He don't come into your families like that. You know, when he came to Adam and Eve in the garden, he came as a slithering snake blending into his environment. He was undetectable. See, he's called the serpent. Serpents, how they get you is they blend into their environment. And you step on them by mistake or you get too close or whatever. And then it's too late. He doesn't come as announcing who he is and what his plan is. He comes as an angel of light. Or he'll blend into your environment. Now, if he does that, how do you recognize him? When he starts accusing. He starts accusing your husband of things to you, or your wife things to you, or your kids. He just starts accusing. And then he takes over the thinking process, and he's gained entrance, and he starts lying and saying that they really don't care about you, that they don't love you, that they don't. And he comes in, and it's a subtle little thing where he blends into the environment of your life, and he starts whispering things into your ear, and he starts filling in the blanks of things that you feared, because fear opens a door to it. He doesn't blow a trumpet and say, this is Satan, I'm coming to wipe you out. We got to understand how this works. And we got to understand that Jesus said, listen, I come to do the opposite. I want to bring you life and life more abundantly. I won't condemn. See, the enemy will bring condemnation. You'll never measure up, no matter how much you try to do, no matter how much you try to do good, no matter how much you try to please God or please one another. If you're listening to that slithering snake that's blending into your environment, you will never, ever do enough. You'll never pray enough. You'll never read enough. I'm talking about doing good things. And the bad things, or the things that you struggle with, will constantly be before your eyes. Because he brings condemnation. He condemns. And so he'll be constantly condemning to try to rob you of the life that God is offering and that God has purchased in his own blood for you to have. Amen? That's why I'm spending a little bit of time on it. Because I'm tired, sick and tired of people being sick and tired. And I'm sick and tired of people receiving lies as if it's the truth. And for people that have well-meaning, good, well-meaning people that love each other, and they can't get along because they don't know what they're listening to. And because the enemy wants you to look inward, it wants life to be all about you, and wants it to be all about me, and it wants us to become self-centered instead of Christ-centered. And then as soon as we do that, he's got us. He's blended into our environment. He's got us, and God's saying, hey, let me in. Let me in. Give me the throne room of your heart, and I will give you life and life more abundantly. I'm here to tell you today, when you come to him and you acknowledge his sacrifice for your life and we repent and we turn from our sin and say, God, I want to follow you. I'm not good enough in my own strength. I can't do this without you. I am trusting in your cross. I'm trusting in your blood. I'm trusting in your sacrifice. I'm trusting in your death, your burial, your resurrection, your righteousness. He says, I will abundantly pardon. I will abundantly pardon. I will forgive you. I will pardon you. And I will spare you. How many of you remember Jonah? Reading about Jonah. First all expense paid trip to Nineveh. Before they had submarines. God prepared a big fish and spared his life. It was a messy trip. A messy delivery. Where he went, he got literally puked up on the shore, on the beach at Nineveh. You see, Jonah, like many of us, wanted to run. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. He says, and I want you to tell them to repent. I want you to preach the gospel to them. Tell them to repent, or judgment's coming. And Jonah, because he was a prophet of God, and he knew the mercy of God. God's mercy was abundant. And he knew, see, these were the enemies. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and Assyria was going, as a prophet, he knew they were coming and going to take them captive and going to wipe out many of his people. And he knew the perversion, and he knew the filth, and he knew the power and the greed and how merciless they were as a nation and what they did to their enemies. And yet God's great grace and desire to pardon, he sent the prophet of God with a message of repentance, and he said, tell them to repent. I've got a lot of people there that need to know the gospel, that need to know the truth. And Jonah says, not going. Send somebody else. I know what they're all about. I'm not your man. So he takes the first boat to Tarshish, going the other direction. He says, not only am I not going, I'm going a different direction. You know, I love to read about Jonah, but then God will show me, he'll lift the curtain, show me ways where I've taken little Jonah runs. You know, I remember when God called me to Bible school. Man, I tried to go every place but Bible school. If you had asked me when I was even graduated from high school and starting college that I would be a preacher, on the top 100 jobs of on a list, that would have been 101. Didn't want it. Wasn't interested. Isn't it weird? You know, it's funny how when you encounter God, though, how he rearranges everything. And so he says, you're going to go to Bible school. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to Bath Iron Works. I'm going up there, and I'm going to move out of Leamington. I'm getting out of Dodge. I'll go in the Air Force. I'll go anywhere. But I'm not going to Bible school. I had heel marks all the way to Bible school. He literally shut every single door that was open to me. And finally, I remember throwing a letter as far as I could. You know, I had had interviews. They liked my work record. They were going to hire me. And I feel bad for all the other workers at Bath Iron Works at that time because they lost a major government contract and put a hiring freeze on. And I think it was just to get me to Bible school. No, I don't know. I hope God blessed them all. But he slammed the door. And I remember getting that rejection letter, walking across the softball field at Bon Eagle. I'll never forget it. I was going out to see my sister play ball. She was playing for the school at the time. And I crumpled that letter up, and I threw it as far as I could. I said, okay, God, you win. And packed up my family and headed to Bible school with heel marks. I remember someone prayed over our tires. We were leaving. Remember that, honey? Somebody prayed over our tires. And I go, what are they praying over our tires for? They need to pray over me. I don't want to even go. When we got there, we had four, I don't know if they even make them anymore, retreaded radials. You know how I don't even know if they make them anymore, but I think all our tires had huge bulges in them by the time we got to New York. I said, man, I'm glad they prayed over our tires. You know, God does stuff and we don't understand it. We might even think it's weird, but he does it for a purpose. And he's come to give us life, and he's come to give us life more abundantly. And he will abundantly pardon if we look to him. Jonah says, not going. God says, yes, you are. Causes a big storm. Everybody on the ship gets afraid, except for Jonah. He's down sleeping in the bottom of the ship. And finally, they wake him up and they say, come call on your God. Our gods ain't working. Come call on your God. We're all going to die out here in this storm. He goes, oh, it's my fault. He says, I can tell you why there's a big storm. He goes, if you throw me overboard, it'll stop. That's how bad he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He would rather be thrown overboard in the wildest storm probably that he had ever experienced. He said, just throw me overboard. It's my fault. I'm running against God. I'm rebelling against God. So they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to throw this guy overboard. But finally he convinced them. They throw him overboard and it was a dead calm. They go, man, this guy was right. And you know the story, big fish swallowed him. Headed back to Nineveh. Puked him up on the beach. And see, Jonah did some business with God in that trip. You know when you're in the belly of a whale or a huge fish, you'll do business with God. No matter how mad you are. Seaweeds wrapping around your head. Stomach gases. I won't describe anymore. This is before lunch. But trust me, this wasn't a first-class cruise. I've been blessed with a cruise, and man, that's nice sailing. Amen. There's buffets everywhere you go. There's all kinds of, I mean, everything is gold and swimming pool, salt water, fresh water, do whatever. Everywhere you turn around, you can grab a burger or something. There's something going on. All the cruises are nice. This wasn't a cruise. And listen to what Jonah's response was. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I knew that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. He goes, I knew you were a good God. I knew you abundantly pardoned. I knew you were abundant in grace. I knew that you don't want to harm them. That's why I didn't want to go. Because I want you to wipe them out. You ever felt like that? You know, God tell you to go to witness somebody you don't particularly care for. Maybe they've done you ugly. They've done you ugly in life. And God said, why don't you go love on them? Go hand them a $50 bill and bless them. God, you don't know what they've done to me. See, this is good. Jonah says, I don't want to tell them about you because I know you, God, and you'll forgive them. God, you'll abundantly pardon them. God, your grace will abound to them. Your loving kindness will manifest to them. Because you're one who relents in doing harm. Do you see God's heart here? I mean, this is in the Old Covenant. This is in the Old Testament. He's revealing his heart. I've got a people I want to redeem. I know what they're like. I know how brutal they are. I know how they treat their enemies. You let me deal with that. You go and tell them about me. Oh, if we could just do that. God, you deal with the junk. Help me to be an expression of your love, your loving kindness, your joy, your peace. Romans 5, chapter 17. We'll be winding down here in just a minute. Romans 5 and verse 17. He says, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. He's talking about Adam, the first Adam in Genesis. He said, because of that sin, death reigned. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see a contrast as I read these verses between what sin could do through a man and what righteousness can do and what grace can do through Jesus and the life that he desires to bring. This is going to be the contrast over these next few verses. I want you to try to stay with me. It can be a little bit hard to follow, but it can be life-changing if you get it, if you understand it and apply it to your life. He goes, by one man's offense, death reigned, verse 17, through one, much more. I want you to listen to the language. Anytime there's a reference to Jesus and his sacrifice or his grace, it's always much more or abundantly more. In other words, everything the enemy has tried to do to trip us up, to steal, to kill, destroy, to rob us of our life and our heritage and our inheritance in God, God has undone and more. Every sin in your life, every struggle that you have, the grace of God is more powerful. It's greater. The forgiveness of God is greater. The pardon of God is greater. See, when he talks about much more in verse 17, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's a righteousness you did not earn. It's a righteousness that you and I received by faith because he's the righteous one who laid it all down for us. Notice the language here. He says, those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness by putting our trust in him will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say we'll be victimized all our life. We'll be abused all our life. We'll struggle all our life. No, he said you want to reign in life? Then be a recipient of the abundant grace of God, the loving kindness of God, and the righteousness of God. Reign over what? You going to be king over Buxton? Over Lymington? I hope not. What's he talking about? He's talking about reigning in life. He's not talking about a position of leadership or rulership. He's talking about you being positioned in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of our faith and our trust in him and the work on the cross. He said, you have been elevated into a new position of righteousness. You are now pronounced righteous before God, and you will reign in this life over sin, over condemnation, over the flesh, over the devil, over sickness, over disease, over the hurt and rejection in your life, over the pain, the experience that have tried to drag you down, tried to rob, tried to steal, tried to kill, tried to destroy you. He says, you will reign over those things in this life. Everybody knows we'll reign when we go to heaven. We don't need any faith for that. It's perfect there. He said, I want you to reign, and I want you to experience life and life more abundantly right here and right now in the midst of it all. Amen? The problem is with a lot of us, it's like my dad used to say, we got the tail wagging the dog. Things are backwards. Amen. God wants us to reign in this life. You reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Therefore, Whenever you see a therefore in the scripture, see what the therefore is there for. Amen? It's more common. He said, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came on all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, referring to Jesus, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. What's that mean? Just as if we never sinned. Restored to perfect relationship with God. Justification of life in Christ through his sacrifice. As for but one man, verse 19, disobedient, one man's disobedient, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. What an awesome sacrifice. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, listen to this, where sin abounded, grace, what? Abounded much more. He's a God of abundance. Where sin abounds, well, maybe you're battling a besetting sin now. Maybe you're struggling with something now. I want you to know this morning that grace abounds in your life and will give you victory over it every time if you look to him. There's an abounding grace. Don't just receive it into your spirit. Well, that's just who I am. You'll have to just get used to it. No, I don't. No, you don't. It cost him his life so we could change. It cost him his life so old things could be passed away and all things become new. We don't have to settle. Don't let him blend into your environment and cause you to settle. Where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so, listen to this, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's a God of abundance. In Titus chapter 3, he talks about, we're not going to turn to it, but he talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out abundantly. In 1 Peter 1:3 says, the abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope, a living hope. In 2 Peter, he says, an abundant entrance has been supplied into his kingdom. He's a God of extravagance. He's a God of abundance. In Ephesians 3, in verse 20, he says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, what? What's the next word? I'm losing my hearing. Exceedingly, abundantly, above, listen to this. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now just think about that for a minute. How big can you dream? How big can you think? What's the highest thing that you can come up with? Amen. The best thing, the supreme thing, whatever your biggest dream is, whatever your biggest desire, whatever your biggest excitement, whatever you can conjure up in your mind, God says, I'll blow it out of the water. I'll do exceedingly abundantly above. Listen to that language. Not just above, abundantly above. Not just above. I'll do more than you think. Not just exceedingly more than you. He goes, I'll do exceedingly abundantly. Remember what abundant means? Above all that you could ask or think by the power that's working in you. If you're born again this morning, you've got a power that's working in you, and the devil wants that to be the best kept secret in your life. Because he knows with Christ reigning in our lives, he has no place. He'll never be able to claim a victory over your life and mine. He said, I'll do exceedingly abundantly. See, the problem is we don't think big enough. We don't dream big enough. We limit God. I've changed my whole prayer. When I really started to get a hold of this, I said, God, this is what I'm believing for. And I mean, I put it out there. This is what I'm believing for. And now, God, I know I've limited you with that prayer. I know I just limited you in what could happen with that prayer. And I'm believing for, I mean, I won't even tell you the things I believe God for. I mean, they're out there. And I said, by virtue of me praying this, I've just limited you, so I'm going to take the limits off, God, and I claim Ephesians 3:20 over this prayer, and I said, God, now that I've laid it all out, the big as I can think, as big as I can imagine, as big as I could ever want, I go, Lord, I give you permission to do exceedingly abundantly above it. Amen. I said, God, I want to be like you. Lord, the works, you said the works you did, I would do in greater works because you went to the Father. Now do exceedingly abundantly above that. I'm telling you, we're on to something here if we can get a hold of this. It isn't, see, the problem is not that there's a shortage in heaven or that God somehow just runs out of power and runs out of his promises, you know, there's a limited supply and the first 100 at the door get the hat. That's not how it works with God. Amen? Wow, they got a lot. Man, the first 1,000 at the door get the t-shirt. God says, I can take everybody in the door at the same time, and I've got an abundant supply, and you'll never run out, and I've got more than you could ever ask or think or need or imagine in your heart. And he says, and I want to give it to you. How do we tap into it? 1 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11 kind of gives us a key. This is in the context of giving, but I believe it applies as we by faith enter into these principles for every area of our life. He says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now let's include more than finances here, of our time, of our energy. In other words, sowing by faith in drawing near to God, sowing, developing a good devotional life, being in the Word of God, being sowing in prayer, sowing in worship, engaging the process, using the tools that God has provided, amen, as well as financially. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. God's saying, put some skin in the game and I will abundantly bless. Amen. You got to reap what you sow, and I will never be outdone, so I'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think over what you sow. He said, so let each one, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is a principle in God. Not only in finances, but in every area of our life. It's a faith issue. As a man purposes in his heart, that makes it a faith issue. People get all bogged down when giving about 10%. I say, if you want to get delivered from that mindset, give over and above that by a lot. It's very liberating. Do exceedingly abundantly above. Just say, okay, that's under the law. Okay, well, I'm going to exceed the law. I'm going to purpose in my heart. I want to please God. I understand kingdom dynamics. I know what he's saying. I know I can't outgive him. I'm going to sow bountifully. Therefore, no, don't think I'm going to sow bountifully. Therefore, I'm going to lack bountifully. See, that's why people don't give. They get fearful, both in their time, their energy, their finances, whatever it is. They fear. They go, I'm going to sow bountifully. I can't sow bountifully because then I'm going to have great lack. No, he says, if you want to reap bountifully, you got to sow bountifully. Amen? You get great return. It's the opposite. See, he slivers in, becomes a part of your environment, and convinces you that God's word isn't true. As a man purposes in his heart, let each one give as a man purposes in heart, not grudgingly nor of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able. I want you to listen to this language. God is able. Everybody say, God is able. Do you really believe that? Do you believe God's able to do anything? He's God. Let me just remind you, He's God. God is able. Now, you just said God is able. Amen. I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to believe you believe that this morning. He says, God is able to make all what? Grace abound toward you, that you always, having some sufficiency for some things, may hopefully have a little bit for the next word. What's the matter? That's not what it says, is it? How come we do it? How come we act like that in life? Can I get real? Is it all right? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to position you for blessing. You see, God takes your investment in Him, and He will do exceedingly abundantly above. He will not be outdone by you or me, because these are His kingdom principles. No, he says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. This is just talking about money. He said, I'll give you all sufficiency for all things, all grace abound. Just being obedient in this one area. Imagine if we get on board with the rest of it. He goes, and I'll make sure, he said, that in this abundance, that you may have an abundance for every good work. In other words, he's saying, if I can get it through you, I'll get it to you. Because he wants to bless, and he wants to make us a blessing. As it is written, verse 9, he that dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. You know, giving is connected with righteousness. It's a fruit of obedience and righteousness. He says, it is written, he that's dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Oh, by the way, we're in Corinthians. This isn't Old Covenant. This is New Covenant. He says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, who's that? Who supplies seed to the sower? I'll help you. God, right? Supply seed to, and bread for food. God. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. There is no, see, I love God's math. It's always adding and multiplying. The subtracting and dividing is the devil. That's the devil's math. He comes to divide, he comes to subtract, he comes to steal, comes to take. God said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. Listen to this, I will supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Listen to this, verse 11, while you are enriched in, what? Everything. Anybody need to be enriched in everything? Not just money. But everything. For all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now to him who is able to get a hold of this. Amen. This truth. Then God will do his part. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine if you dare to just trust Him by a power that's working already in you. The power of His presence in you. If you're born again this morning, He is in you. You've been baptized into the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And He's given you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. And He will bless you and make you a blessing. Amen? We serve a God of abundance. Let's stand together this morning. The worship ministry would come at this time. As they're coming, I just got a question for us here to think about before we close in prayer. What do you need this morning? Please don't limit God. He's the God of abundance. Engage Him by faith. Tap into His abundance. He's got everything you could possibly need if you dare to trust Him and dare to look to Him. Have you ever looked to other people and they disappointed you? Or maybe looked to your job and you fell short? Or looked to other things to bring you joy and bring you peace and happiness, and you come up empty? Maybe you looked to certain relationships and you were left wanting. Can I tell you this morning, the one who died for you, the lover of your soul, will abundantly pardon. And He wants to bless you. He wants to give you life, and life more abundantly, like you have never tasted before. He wants to restore your relationships, restore your marriages, your families. He wants to heal your bodies, bring salvation to your soul. He wants to secure your eternity. And He wants you to enjoy life right here, right now. He wants to give you abundant life if you dare to trust Him. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask that you just raise your hands right where you are. Just raise your hands and your hearts towards heaven. I want to close praying for you today that God will elevate us to a new place of faith and expectancy and abundance, and that we would not settle. We don't want to settle. We don't want to put limits on God. Amen? He can do it all. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Or whatever you're raising your hand for this morning, whatever you're lifting your heart towards heaven for this morning, He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above. Father, we come to You right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, some are holding up their hands this morning, God, because they want life. God, they're tired of struggles. They're tired of being depressed. They're tired of being oppressed. God, some are lifting their hands up this morning because of the financial burden that they're under, God. God, we're asking, Lord God, today, God, for You to invade every hand, every heart, and God, the hands that are expressing their faith before You this morning, God, that You would show up, God, that You would manifest Your power and Your glory. God, those that are believing You for healing, those that are believing You, God, God, to be free, God, from emotional torment. Those that are believing You, Lord God, to have their minds renewed, God, to be able to think like Your Word, to be able to think like You think, God. Those, God, that have been battling discouragement, God, or hopelessness, God. God, we're asking, Lord, today, God, that You would invade their circumstance, their life, their situation, and God, that You would reveal Yourself to each and every one of us, God, as a faithful God who desires to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God, a God who's come to give us life and life more abundantly. God, right now, we look to You. We look to You, the life giver. God, we thank You that You loved us enough to die for us, to take the penalty for our sin and the judgment that was due us. And God, that fell upon You. God, the sicknesses and diseases, God, they fell upon You. God, the heartache and the pain, God, it fell upon You. God, the rejection, Lord God, God, fell upon You. God, poverty fell upon You. God, You became the sacrifice for it all so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. God, renew hearts, renew minds, transform lives. Help us to call upon You, God, while You're near, to see, to experience that You're a God who abundantly pardons. You spare us, Lord. You forgive us. You pardon us so that we can walk free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from shame, God, so that our past no longer defines us. God, so that our past and our present, God, doesn't have to determine our future. Because our future is in you. Our life is hid with Christ in God. God, we trust in you and you alone. We give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name. If there's anyone here that's never given your heart to the Lord this morning, or you would like prayer for any reason, the altar's open as we close worshiping the Lord. Feel free to come down. We would love to pray with you. If you've never met this God that I've been talking about, this could be your day. Today's the day of salvation. He loves you, and he wants you for his own. Amen. If there's anyone here that needs prayer for any other reason, feel free to come down. We'd be glad to pray with you. Thank you, Lord.